time to go visit the big man. But no road trip is complete without a playlist, right? So many of you have moms who are Gen X, and Gen X moms in technology are not always friends. And so I had one mom, my biological mom, was like punching away at the satellite radio trying to get it to work. And my extra mom said, "Stop, give me a minute." And so today, as we unpack this scripture, we're going to talk about what our job is, which is to let it cook, and for God to come in and say, "Hey, give me a minute." If you don't mind, open your Bibles. We're going to read in Luke. Luke 13, 18 to 21. He said, "Therefore, what is the kingdom of God like, and to what shall I compare it to? It is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his garden, and it grew and grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches." And again he said, "To what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour until it was all leavened." This is the word of the Lord. Pray with me. Holy Spirit, even though our eyes don't see you, our faith senses you. And so we ask in this moment that, as so many people have shared today, that they're looking for the next step. And I ask that this word encourage where our body is in this hour. Lord, we love you and we trust you. Amen. So oftentimes when we read that scripture, we focus on the timing of the promise, right? We're Westerners, so our patience is like super thin. We like read the scripture, there's the mustard seed, bam, there's the plant. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. Growing things take time. And so today I want to answer your question of what do you do with the waiting? Because the wait is where we lose our minds. We have this good idea, God speaks to us, we're full of fury, and then we plant the seed, and now what? We tell our mom, "Mom, I want to go see Santa," and she's like, "Cool, I'll hand you your playlist. Give me a minute." The wait is the kids in the car saying, "Are we there yet?" Faith, my friends, our church, it's not the end result, it's the seed. It's the leavening agent that makes no sense to kickstart a belief in God. A belief that God will give you a crazy, beautiful yield that does not make sense. The yield that defies logic, and faith requires us not relying on our own way. Faith means we don't get to believe according to common sense. Faith is a seed that requires us to be reckless. And I want you to write that down. Faith is a seed that requires us to be reckless. Paul, will you hit that? So this is a Presbyterian church, so hearing the word reckless might scare you. We don't like recklessness. We like order. And order has a time and place. God orchestrates our faith according to his order, not ours. It is our job to be reckless with our faith, to believe, have faith for, obedient unto the thing he's called you to do that makes no sense. It makes no sense, like moving to Alaska as a 34-year-old mom just shy of broke with 2 kids. It makes no sense. You do it anyway. So the psychology of learning is fascinating because your brain can do mind-bending work. But one of the things that limits belief and limits growth is something called limiting belief. Or maybe just you forgot. You forgot what God did. You forgot what you thought about. You forgot about that powerful encounter. Or maybe you heard something that contradicts this thing that you absolutely want in your life. And limiting belief is a true thing because your brain is designed to do that. Your memory is attached to something called retrospective coding. And this is when your memory of an experience or a response goes in to your brain, and there's like a little bit of a glitch in the system, where you heard it, but you heard it maybe with a limited understanding, or you heard it and somebody said it in a mean way. So now you hear and think about something, maybe not the way God ordained it to, but the way your experience tells you it is. but you have this deep-seated belief in God, but how can you believe that? Well, it's not working, and it's not your fault. Your brain is designed to do this. There's a way to undo it, and we'll talk about that later. But understand that if you are believing and feeling one thing in your heart, but your mind is doing something different, that's okay. You're not crazy. Your brain is actually doing what it's supposed to do. Your brain might tell you, that mustard seed is too small. That thing God called you to, it can't work. But oh, my friends, when that thing is nurtured with order, it will shine. It will shine. How do you get the loaf of bread? How do you get a garden full of mustard greens? You start in the dark. When I first came to Fairbanks, it was at 2:24 a.m., January 1st, 2024. It was in the dark. So when you start with something, whether it be sourdough, kombucha, thank you, Melissa, a garden, it's dark for a time. Genesis 1:2 says, "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. The Spirit of God hovered over the waters." An origin story has its place, and that place often is darkness. As I was reflecting on what this week was for my family, 7 years ago, my ex-husband left us. I was 6.5 months pregnant with Constance, and I had a 13-year-old kid. That was a dark time. Guess who showed up in that darkness? God and community. 7 years ago, I was by myself asking God what's next, and here I am. I was formerly abandoned by a husband and a faith family, and now I get to speak with you. Darkness is holy. It's the place to solemnly encounter life. Seeds go into dark soil. Leavening takes time to proof, often covered in the dark. It starts in the dark, and then it blooms. And after things rise, both in stem height for your plants and the dough, you have to do something with it, right? So when you see this teeny tiny bud, you're like, oh, I grew something. And then you have two trains of thought. That's it. Or, please don't die. That's it. Or, please don't die. Because it's discouraging, right? You have all of this zeal, this enthusiasm. You've gone to Lowe's. You bought the seed starters. You bought the seed trays. You have the grow light. And then you get a bud. That's it. Or maybe you've started your first loaf of sourdough, and then it rose a little bit, like a skosh of a rise. And you ask yourself in that space, because the yield isn't what you thought it would be yet, what is the point? Is this even worth it? I just did all of this time and money. I've destroyed all of my dishes in my kitchen. Is this even worth it? And church, let me tell you, the reward is actually in the effort. No risk, no magic. No effort, no reward. When things sprout, this is our first glimpse, though. If you're excited, you're like, this is our first glimpse. Okay, awesome, we can keep going. So let's say you've done something brave and asked God for something you have no business asking him for, like moving you to Alaska, but you see a tiny glimmer. You have two options. You can quit, or you can cultivate. And some of you are tired, and you need to go ask God, do I quit now and change courses, or do I just cultivate? Paul, do you want to skip the next two slides? Quitting is easy. It's so easy. All you have to do is just stop. Quitting is easy. It's mediocre. It's common. It's cheap. You don't have to go to Lowe's ever again if you just quit gardening right now. But it makes you like everybody else. Now, cultivating, that requires extra obedience. It requires patience. Because if you go look at a new seed every day, especially after curating the soil, or you go look at your sourdough starter every day after buying that very expensive flour that you ordered online that somebody told you four times ago, this is the solution, and it doesn't rise, if you quit caring for it, it dies. Cultivating takes time. You let it cook. It's the mustard seed. yeah, you're going to get that 20-foot tall plant, but it takes a minute. Paul, will you go to the next slide? I'm going to do something I will never, ever do again. I am going to quote Tom Brady. Because some of you are football fans. I don't understand you, but I'm going to bless you with this. Tom Brady does have a point. He's the winningest Super Bowl champion. And here's what he says about not quitting. Day two matters in the NFL draft. Day two matters more than draft day. He was number 199. That man went from number 199 to one because he didn't quit. He says things don't correct themselves. You've got to go out and do the work and the work to correct it. Meaning you can plant that and you can leave it alone, or you can tweak it until it's a thriving plant. And then he says, to be successful at anything, the truth is you don't have to be special. You don't. You have to be what most people aren't: consistent, determined, and willing to work for it. Consistent, determined, and willing to work for it. The trend is you don't have to be special, but you do have to cultivate it. Just don't quit. And maybe your big thing feels like not that big of a deal to others, but it's a big deal to you. Maybe the thing that you want more than anything is a family that's closer than close. Or maybe at 60, you realize, I don't have the faith practice I want to. Maybe you still want an unshakable faith that you know more about. You cultivate it. You cultivate it. And God will do it. What does he say? The kingdom of heaven is like a woman with leavening and flour. You cultivate it. In this series, David has shared how it works. So how does faith work? By believing the unthinkable and then remaining faithful when it is terrible or boring or not going your way. How it works: you cultivate the space and the environment to go do the thing God has called you to do, or maybe the thing that you're longing for. In a garden, that means weeding, treating the soil, adjusting the plants to the right kind of light. With baking, it means figuring out that heating element in your 1973 oven, because why does everything go to the left? In baking, it means sifting the ingredients, getting the right kind of flour, the perfect timing for the proofs. Slowly but surely, you have curated over time to let it cook. And a trick you can use in the cultivation period, because it is truly the worst. The cultivation period is the worst because nobody claps for you in the middle. They clap for you at the beginning and they clap for you at the end. The middle is when it gets hard and nobody's in there to clap for you. You have to play a mind trick. You have to change your mind to help you believe that you can do this thing that you ask God for. And he'll meet you here. Here's the time, here's the trick: mental time travel. Paul, will you go to the next slide? Mental time travel paired with perspective coding. And this is a big deal because it will help part of your brain grow. Mental time travel is when you reflect on a memory or an experience with the same enthusiasm that you first experienced, and then you take that and put it into action. So let's say you had a really good moment in your car listening to worship music and you felt like God called you to do something, but you got tired. So how do you find the will to go do it again? You remember that moment in your car, and then you go do that thing. And slowly but surely, your brain is going to remember that you can do this. Your brain is going to start believing God in a way that you didn't before. But you have to practice it. Because it's natural to want to quit. It's natural to feel like it's hard. It is unnatural, and it is disciplined to take that memory, to take that faith, to take that enthusiasm, and remember it every time you do it. But as you do you know what that does to your brain? It actually strengthens your will to live. So there's this super tiny part of your brain called the mid-cingulate anterior cortex, and this is one of the smallest parts of your brain, and it's actually studied to help house your will to live. And the more you do these hard things that you don't want to do, but that you know are good for you, the stronger that part of your brain gets. And the more successful and the more faith and belief you have in this thing God has called you to do. When you do that, you're cooking. And that's my favorite thing to do. It only works, though, if you do it. If you try. If you quit, it doesn't work. But as you show up with enthusiasm to the goal, and maybe the goal is your name on the arena, a family that's closer than close, or maybe even at 60 or 70 or 80, you want to be a stronger student of the Bible. When you show up to that task with enthusiasm and remember that encounter that you had with the Father, it is actually giving your goal hope for the future and you inspiration to continue going. You just can't quit. You have to let it cook. You have to give it a minute, time. You have to give it a minute to figure out how to get to the Super Bowl trophy. Now, when time passes, you're going to see gradual gains. If you're in the gym, you see gradual gains. And those keep you going because the suffering is worth it. Baby buds turn into sprouts. Sprouts turn into full-size plants. The bread that was one loaf is now seven. And now you're feeding a sourdough starter every day and giving it out to people who didn't really ask for it, but they're excited to hear from you. This is another time where you just don't quit. You've seen gains. Yay, that gain, you're not at the finish line. You're not at the finish line. Keep sharing, but you're not at the finish line. But what happens when you see yield, but it's not the right kind of yield? If you have too many plants in one row, what happens? They don't grow. It chokes out. If you've been to Barb Page's house, you know this to be true. If you've been to the Reichardt house, you also know this to be true. Too much in one space, it chokes it out. It can't live. Part of cultivation is elimination. If you overfeed a sourdough starter, it dies. If you overwater your orchid, it dies. Part of cultivation is elimination. So maybe you have this goal or calling that God has called you to. It might look like you can't be in these friendships anymore. Or you can't be in that relationship, even though it is a really good idea. And it will hurt because he's 6'8". Or maybe you want to become a better musician, so you have to take different music lessons. So you can't do other things. Elimination is part of cultivation. Or maybe you have athletic gains and you like want to become really strong in one way, so you have to change your workout. Elimination is part of cultivation. It's a challenge, because just because it's growing, that doesn't mean it's the best. So as you grow, you have to weed out between the good and the bad and continue on that path. And then one day, you're going to be at your kitchen table, and you're going to see the fruit of your labor. You'll see your Bible on the table, and with assurance, even at 70, you can know exactly what that thing says. And you've got your seven loaves of starter dough because you became one of those weird baking junkies in 2020. And then you're going to look at all of your close family that you've sown into because you put the time into it, because this is your family that you've poured into over years. And you actually are closer than close. You see your name on the arena. Don't quit. That's the fulfillment of this thing that God's asked you to or that you've desired. But this is not when you throw in the towel. When you see the completion of the prayer, you start again. And why do you start again? Because nothing is wasted, right? Romans 8:28, all things, the good and the bad, work for the glory of God and those who love him. So when the pumpkin is finished growing, and these things take a long time to grow, it feels like you're growing a baby. It's 120 days. After it's done with its display, you scoop out the insides and you cook it. And then you take the seeds, either for a snack or to replant for a future harvest. And then you eat the pie. It keeps going. Everything has a purpose. Nothing is wasted. Because now you're going to have those seeds left over and you can grow another garden. You can do something else with it. Nothing is wasted. In fact, this is an invitation for you to begin again. At some point, those mustard seeds will be a thriving whole plant. Eventually, though, it does go to seed. Another season of darkness, another season of survival. And the point of Christianity and faith is not that we don't have seasons of darkness. It's the hope we have in Christ to pursue the unthinkable, to pursue the reckless, to pursue the thing that does not make any sense at all other than God himself told you to. So when the harvest is harvested and the table is shared and the joy is achieved, what happens next? Every fairy tale, all of the children's books, they start with once upon a time. And the beauty of the crucifixion is that once upon a time is always welcome to us. We begin again. You begin again. You replant those seeds that you saved from last season. You feed another sourdough starter. And if you feel like you've come to the end of one season, or you feel led to ask God for another adventure, like Melissa has done, she's moving to South Carolina, the land that I just came from. If you feel like you've come to the end of one season, or maybe you're afraid to do that thing that you really want, can I tell you something? You can do that. You can ask God for this again. As I often say to our college and career members, you are not dead, you're just in your 20s. And that is what I want to say to you. You are not dead. Whether you are an 8-year-old trying to figure out how to be good in school and you feel like this is impossible, because that's what my son says. It's impossible to be good today. It's not. Try again. Maybe you're 60 and you can't get your kids to answer the phone. It's not impossible. You just have to try a different way. You are not dead. Keep asking God for the next thing and then go do it. Asking God for help is kind of miserable though, right? Because then we have to admit that we can't do it on our own, that our way isn't working. And humility is a lot harder at 36 than it was at 23. But as you encounter God, and there's your once upon a time, this is your invitation to come with full confidence that you can once again ask God for this thing to do. So I have a challenge for you. I want you to ask God for a mustard seed. I want you to ask him to give you the assurance that that little thing that you're afraid to say or that thing that you might be longing for, I want you to ask him about it. Just pray about it, read your Bible, light the candle, say the prayer. Go ask him about it. Because that little bitty thing that makes no sense, I promise it will grow. It just takes time. I want to close out with this. If you've abandoned a dream, a calling, a prayer, because it wasn't an overnight success story, ask God for this mustard seed of faith. And then go cultivate it. And when that thing comes, rejoice and tell us about it so we can cheer with you. And then go do it again. My prayer for you today is for weary faith to be encouraged. Maybe your faith is just tired. And you need to be reminded that you can do this. For fading faith to be reignited. And for those who are unsure about what to do next, go ask. Begin again. Because you are not dead. In fact, you are still very much alive. So go with the fullness of God. Go fullness with that faith that he has given you. Because it is your job to be reckless and his job to bring the order. And in time, you will see that tiny mustard seed or that tiny pumpkin seed into a full-grown plant. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this church. Thank you for those who are seeking you and who want more out of this life. God, I ask today that as we have so many members who are looking for their next adventure or questioning, should I do this? Can I even ask you for this? That they would feel confident that the answer is yes. Yes, we can approach you. Yes, this is possible. Jesus, thank you for the crucifixion that makes this possible. God, we love you so much. And we trust that nothing is wasted in this life. Lord, we love you and we bless you. Amen.